We want to come now to our meditation before we come to the table and ask you just to turn again to that passage in Matthew chapter 20. You're looking at one of the verses there this evening. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Amen. Christ is here, as we read before, countering the sons of Zebedee and their mother, wanting that great privilege of sitting on Christ's right hand and on His left hand. He goes into the situation of them having to be baptized with Christ's baptism, them having to drink the cup that Christ would drink. But then He leaves them uncertainty about the right and the left hand. But what is more to the point, I think, for us, is that He comes and reproves, really, this thought and this desire of the disciples of being great above others in the kingdom of God. So that's how it is in the Gentiles. They exercise dominion, and they exercise authority upon their subjects, but not so among Christ's officers. Rather, if you want to be great, particularly here, the officers of the church, if we want to be great, we are to be a minister, a servant. Christ gives us many examples in His own life, the least of which comes to our mind with Him washing the disciples' feet, girding Himself really with a servant's clothing even, humbling Himself even before these sinful disciples, giving us a pattern to follow. One of the lessons here I think we can see that our true pattern of life then. Remember how the verse starts, even as the Son of Man, because He gave this instruction. If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be chief, let Him be a servant. Even as Me, Christ is saying, came not to be one like the Gentiles, to sit back and let others minister to Him, but to be a minister to others. Christ is our pattern. John says, if any man say he abide in Christ, he should walk even as He also walked. Same teaching here. Let's briefly say about that, that as we come to this table tonight, and we think of our own lives, our own hearts, let us think we're walking as Jesus walked. Are we thinking the thoughts that He would think? Are we doing the deeds that He would do in the manner that He would do them? Are we believing the truths that Jesus believed? It'll search our hearts on it. I don't like the popular acronym WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's amazing when that thing was stronger than it is right now as far as popularity. Some of the filthiest people you would ever meet, we met with those kind of hats and bracelets. I just don't understand what they're thinking, but in a sense, that is what we're saying. Are we walking as Jesus walked? Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus act that way? Would He say this? It's not, as old Paisley used to say, it's not what some liberal theologian says Jesus would do. It's what this book reveals to us that Jesus was and did as our standard for understanding. If we're walking, if we're thinking as Jesus would do and say, let that be our pattern, our standard of examination even tonight in this table. But let us pass on really to the second part of that verse. And to give His life a ransom for many. the offering up of himself to the Father, to give his life a ransom for many. Ryle said, "This is the mightiest truth in the Bible. Grasp it and never let it go. That Christ is offered up as a ransom for many." Ransom is simply that price paid for the redemption of a slave. How fitting it is. We're told we're slaves of sin before we were redeemed. But what is the price? What is the ransom? Well, it is the life of Christ. It is the life of Christ given for many. Christ did not die as an example of love. He did not die as a martyr. He didn't die as an example of what God thinks of sin. I mean, all these things can be included in Christ's death, but the primary point is a payment. It is a satisfaction. It's an atonement, a propitiation of the wrath of God, of the fulfilling of the law. You see, the law has two things. It has duties to be done. It also has a payment for those duties that were undone. When Christ is giving himself a ransom for, in the place of, the many, he is paying that part of the law, the demands of justice, of reparation, the debt we talked about, forgive us our debts. We owe to God's law the punishment. Sin brings that debt of justice we cannot pay. We're like the servant that owed 10,000 talents. We have nothing to pay with. But blessed be the Lord. The Son came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You could not pay, I could not pay. In fact, instead of paying off part of it, we are continually, daily adding to the debt that we owe to that justice of the law, the penalty, the death, spiritually and physically. We have this great one who came not to do his own will. He came not to please himself. Came not for comfort. Not for popularity. But really all things pointing to be that ransom for many. And that payment that he rendered is a full payment. Every debt, every degree, the whole line, if you just think of it as the 10,000 talents were paid in full. There wasn't left a talent, or a half a talent, or a quarter or an eighth of a talent left. It's all paid. We read in Hebrews 1 this morning, when Christ had purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He was done. Remember, he said on the cross, "It is finished." It's a full payment. The ransom is not a partial. It's not an installment. Or it's not a beginning for which we must make more satisfaction. You know, we maybe mention Rome a lot here. Not to pick on them. I do believe that they're one of the greatest threats to the church. Especially since they're not even considered a threat anymore. Of course, that does include some of your view of prophecy. In Thessalonians and things like that. But they teach that your penance, what we would call more biblically repentance, and we wouldn't agree with their view of penance, but you find many things in there that are very almost exactly what we would say. The point is this. When you reform your life in repentance, we would say it is a satisfaction. It is an atonement for your sins. You have to pay for your sins and add them on to Christ's. Of course, they charge us with misrepresenting them, but if there needed to be more payment, obviously the first payment wasn't enough. And that's what we're saying here. Christ sat down, having purged our sins. The ransom was paid for many. You think about that tonight. in the bread and the cup to remind us of the blood of the new covenant. It is sufficient. It is a full payment. Yes, when we sin as children of God, we're chastised. Yes, we may feel that rod, and we do. Well, we need to, lest we're not God's sons. But it does not have to do with that ransom price. That's been paid. It's a fatherly correction. There's no jeopardy of the family status. There's no jeopardy of your legal standing. That standing is full. That payment for justice is done. May hinder fellowship with the Lord. May hinder blessing. But it never hinders your justification, your adoption, your security as a believer. He gave His life a ransom for many. For many. You're of that many. You believe in Christ. That's the means of obtaining it. Is to look unto Him, to rest in His ransom, in His payment, in His price. This is, as we said this morning, some, the new year. And many times it's good. We want to do better. We should be striving, as Paul said, for the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. We're not of them that, since we don't want to be of them, that think we've attained enough and we can just sit back and coast. No, we want to be pressing forward. But how are we pressing forward? Let's make sure we're resting upon that one price, that full satisfaction. Done for us. You know, again, it's for many. It's in the place of many. That's Christ for us. Christ in the place of us. Christ on our behalf. Must keep that separate from what the Spirit does in us. Imputation and infusion. We believe in both. But we believe in not confusing them and confounding them, compounding them. Let us, on the basis of what is imputed, that price, that righteousness, press forward, asking the Spirit to help us to live that righteous life, to walk in the ways of God, to love Christ by keeping His commandments. Not to effect or to supplement a satisfaction for our sins, past or present, but to work from that free pardon, to labor on in joy, to conform ourselves to that one who gave His life a ransom for you and for me. Amen. We're going to come then to the table.